Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, bonus episode 231, God's Presence in the Covenants. Guest minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Friday, January 7th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, I'm excited to teach this tonight. It is a teaching. God is good. We're going to take a look at God's presence in the covenants. We're going to start in Genesis 15 in chapter 1. So thank you, Lord, for using me to show your presence in the word. We thank you, Lord, for your covenants, and we just praise you for what we're about to hear. Let it touch every heart. Open eyes and ears to hear, to touch every heart, to bring life in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says in chapter 15, verse 1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. So this is about God's promises to his son Abram and to us. The Lord is everything. The great I am. He was saying, I am your defense. I am your protector. I am your total provision. I am your provider. God was telling him not to be afraid because he had just defeated a larger army with five kings in the last chapter. And an attack of retribution was to be expected. But God said, I am your shield. I am your reward. Because Abram had denied himself riches offered from the king of Sodom. That way, he could not say that he had made Abram rich, but only God. So in verses 2 and 3, it says, but Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Abram was saying, it's not looking so great right now, God. I only have this one servant that can be my heir. It's not looking so good. I have no children to leave anything to. But the first promise comes in verses 4 and 5, where it says, then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And he said to them, so shall your offspring be. I remember when I was a preschool teacher years ago, this was a lesson that we had for three-year-olds. And we covered the preschool table with a dark blanket and we all got inside underneath. And then I turned on the flashlight and all the things I'd put on the bottom of the table lit up. And the kids were like, ooh. So I just imagine that as he took him outside and said, look up, that he had to really try to envision that since he didn't have any children yet. Let's see. So in 4 and 5, then the promise was the first promise that God made. And most of us know that Abram was 85 years old when that promise was given to him. And how old was he when it came to pass? 100. 15 years had passed while he was waiting. Like Pastor said, you have to wait. So in verse 6, it says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. The Lord credited this to Abram because he believed God, not in God. It wasn't the belief in God, but he actually believed him when he spoke. He believed through his faith what he was told. A lot of people say, well, I believe in God. Well, so do the demons. But you have to believe what God speaks to receive. That's just a little minor tweak that some people may need to make, but it's believing in God that becomes the righteousness of God. So in verse 7, it says, he also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land, to take possession of it. So this is when he received promise number 2. So who were the Chaldeans? They were referred to as a specific semi-nomadic tribe who lived in southern Babylonia. They were known for being highly intelligent. They say that maybe one of the wise men might have been one of these people coming from their line. And they were great farmers. There were lots of rich fields and pastures and everything else in the land of Ur. But they also were into astrology and witchcraft. So God was letting him know that he was bringing him out of that dark place and into a new land to own it. Not only to live in it, but to possess it as an inheritance. God was calling him out of some place that was familiar and taking him to the unknown. He was taking him into uncharted territory. It's pretty awesome to think about. It was a big city. This land of Ur was a big city. Lots of good things going on. Lots of riches. Lots of wealth. Lots of food and things growing and animals. And just all of that was there. But the Lord said, I am the Lord who brought you out. That's an act of power and in grace. He redeemed him from sin and he took him from the darkness of the land of Ur with the Chaldeans to the light of the inheritance that he was going to possess. And again, he had to not believe in God, but believe what he spoke. So Abram walked away from it all with faith, trusting that God was going to give him something better, even though he was going to be a stranger in a foreign land. Imagine leaving your home and family and everything that you were familiar with. Like some of the missionary people I know, it would all be left behind. Would you do it for the promise of God? Would you leave all that behind for the promise of God? We'd like to say we would. So in verse 8, it says, but Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? He asked how. He believed God, but he needed help with his unbelief. We all need that, don't we? There are many, many, many times when we hear a promise and we want to stand on it, but there's that little bit of unbelief. So he desired a sign, a help from heaven for the confirming of his faith. So in verse 9, it says, So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old. In other words, the best of the best. They're fully mature. They're ready to go. Along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite of each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. So the answer to his how question was for Abram to make a sacrifice to God and expect to meet with him. Expectation is what we all need with God. He is faithful and he will bring his word to total fulfillment. But we have to be in expectation. We have to believe that he's going to do it. We have to be waiting on him. So Abram waited on God. And his expectation was raised by the delay. He had to continue to protect the meat while he was waiting. So how are you guarding your mind against the enemy during your time of waiting? While you are waiting for your promise to come, while you are waiting to go to that inheritance, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Are you meditating on scripture? If you're going for a healing, then you should be meditating on healing scripture, maybe promises, just reading the promises of God. That would be a good thing to do, to meditate on the scripture. How about worship? Are you worshiping him even while you're in that dark place, waiting to go to the light? Just worship him. It opens the doors for your heart. It opens the doors for your mind. And it is our weapon of warfare. As we worship him, we can move into the promised land. Truth. We have to speak truth. So we need to confess truth of faith out of our mouth. What are you speaking out of your mouth? Are you speaking truth? Are you speaking life? Or are you speaking the darkness that you see, that you're living in right at this moment? So in verses 12 through 16, it says, As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go on to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." So it says that Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a dreadful darkness came over him. The Lord was letting him know that his promised descendants were going to be enslaved and held in captivity. That probably was not a very good dream, was it? He was probably wondering, "Why are you showing me this, God?" Not very encouraging at all. However, God also let him know that they would come out on the other side with great reward. So there was a promise in there for him to hang on to. And he also told him that he would live peacefully and be buried in his old age. That's the only part where Abraham actually inherited the land, is where he was buried. He never saw that promise come true, but he was buried there, so that little plot of land was his. That's what he had bought sometime during it. So in reading verses 17 to 18, this is my favorite part. "When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, 'To your descendants I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt and to the great river, the Euphrates.'" There's so much in there. That's where I started, was just wondering, what did that look like for him? He's just coming out of this dream, or maybe he's still in the dream, but the Lord comes in a mighty, mighty way. In ancient days, when I started studying to find out what this was all about, the people that were making a contract together would walk through sacrificed animals in a covenant ceremony. They needed a blood sacrifice to sign the contract. This was the Lord making a lasting covenant with Abram. So this is why he had to have just the right animals cut in half, laid out specific. The Lord gave him instructions. And what did he do? He followed it. He did what he knew to do, what he was supposed to do. He did his part. I know I preach that a lot, but that's so key. It is a key for you. So the fire pot and the blazing torch represents the presence of God, signifying the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, leading the children of Israel out of exile, displaying the very presence of God physically to Abram. He got to see what he had heard about. The fire pot not only reminds us of the pillar of cloud, but also the smoke on Mount Sinai and the cloud of God's Shekinah glory. In other words, a visible manifestation of the divine presence of God. God has made himself very real to people all throughout the Old Testament. He makes himself real to us as well. It's not with our seeing eyes, but with our spirits that we can know his presence is with us. The blazing torch represents the pillar of fire and also the burning bush, displaying God's presence before Moses. Sometimes fire from heaven would fall and consume sacrifices when God was well pleased. As noted in scriptures found in 1 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, for example, he actually sent it down to show people how well pleased he was. So when we feel the presence of God come over us, he is telling us, "I am well pleased with your sacrifice." The Lord passed through the animal parts by himself as Abram stood by and watched. Remember, in the agreement, they would both walk through the animal parts. But God was showing that this was a unilateral covenant. Adam never signed the contract in the ritual. Therefore, the certainty of the covenant God made with Abram is based on who God is, not on Abram or what he would do. Do you hear that? It's not anything on who we are or what we do. It's only who God is. This covenant could not fail because God cannot fail. Ever. There's no chance of it because Abram might have failed, but God made sure of it. He was the only one that walked through those pieces. The very presence of God walked physically through those pieces so that Abram would know that these promises will be true. What a sign! Woo! So when people come to us and we've asked God for confirmation and stuff, and people come and they speak out exactly what God needed you to hear, you have a choice to believe it or not to believe it. What do you want to do? It's up to you. It's just a simple, yes, I'm going to believe God sent them to speak that to me. And when you receive those things in your heart, you feel God's presence because you start moving in a different way than you did before. You know, I was telling Pastor before the sermon, you know, this all started for me back when I started doing welcome message for our Revive engagement days. Just a little, hey, glad you're here. I was all nervous and everything. God takes you from the small things and takes you to the bigger things when you believe what people speak over you and when you start moving and what God's asking you to do. So I'm so excited. So back to the story. In a sense, the Father walked through the broken and bloody body of Jesus to establish his covenant with us. And God signed the contract for both of us. We merely entered into the covenant by faith. We don't make the covenant with God. He already made it for us. That touches my heart. God loved us so much that he already did everything for us. He already made the covenant for us. All we have to do is submit to it and say, through faith I receive. I believe in what you're speaking, God. I didn't have to see it. I just believe that you spoke it to me. It changes your whole world when you can grab a hold of that. It's not just a belief in him, it's believing what he speaks. It was established by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 8, we read about Jesus becoming our great high priest. He was appointed that position by God after his death. There had to be the shedding of blood to make the covenant possible. Jesus did that for us. And now we're going to go to Hebrews 8, starting in verse 6. And I thought, rather than me try to tell you anything more about what God has already spoken, I'm just going to read it. Just speak it. So, but in fact, starting in verse 6, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people. And he said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. The old covenant was the covenant of law between God and Israel. The new and better way is the covenant of grace. Christ offered to forgive our sins and bring us to God through his sacrificial death. It is new in application because it is written on our hearts and in our minds. It offers a new way to forgiveness, not through animal sacrifice, but through faith. Christ signed it in blood, and we enter into the contract by saying yes to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's how we receive him. We say no more to the darkness. We walk away from the familiar, comfortable sin of our lives, and we move into the promised land of light, into something new and unfamiliar, but we're willing to go because he spoke it, and he said yes. He said, yes, I'll take you there. And he'll give us helps from heaven along the way. He'll give us signs to help us grow. He'll give us signs and people to lift us up and to help move us into the new place. And if you constantly are submitting to him and you are willing, he will take you there. We're being sanctified through our lives to get to where we're going to be in the glorified state in heaven. We are being taken from darkness to light. Christ has given us a powerful inheritance, and through his inheritance, we are more than conquerors. The word says that we are co-heirs and a royal priesthood. The word says that we are chosen people. Do you believe that? Do you see yourself as a priest, as a royalty, as a chosen one? Do you feel that special on your heart? That God says, I love you so much, I sent my son. I broke his body for you. Do you believe that? Because when we understand and we begin to comprehend how God sees us, that's how he sees us. It doesn't matter what we see ourselves as, because this is how God sees us. Then we will stop doubting and running away from our destiny. God needs us to be where he sees us. We cannot function in the land of Ur. We cannot function to be who we're called to be in the land of Ur. We have to move away from the astrology, the witchcraft, the sinful life, even if it looks wealthy, even if it looks fruitful. We have to go to where God calls us, into the unfamiliar, into the desert, into a place where most people don't want to go. He's called us to the desert because he's taken us to the promised land. We have to walk through the unfamiliar. You get comfortable for a second, and then he's got you going to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, from glory to glory. I want to do that. I want to walk that way. I want to go that way. I want to run that way. You want to run with me? Ooh, we might get going here. When we embrace our kingdom identity and hold on to the covenant, and all the promises given to his children, us, then we will be able to stand and face up to the challenge in these end times. We are in the end times, and there's a big challenge ahead of us. We don't have to look at that. God said, just look at where you are right now. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Look to me. And we just build faith in people, and we just keep going from glory to glory to glory. Who would have thought, however many years ago I came here, 5 years ago when I gave the welcome message for the first couple times at the Revive Engage Day, that I would be up here preaching a message today? I didn't think that, but God said so. And I don't have to know what he says is the next step. I'm just trusting him to take me there because he is faithful to his promises. And I believe him. I believe the promises that are written in the word. So it was a short message tonight. Sorry, I don't know if it got even close to a half hour, but that's all right. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, Father. If there's anyone that's struggling tonight, we just pray for you to touch their hearts in a new way through this word, Father God. We pray that you touch them in a way that they realize that they hold the keys to the kingdom in their hand. Father, take them to new places where they can unlock those prison cells and go and just be free with you. Yes, they're walking into the desert land where they can't see where they're going, but they have you to walk with them. You are the blazing torch. You are the pillar of cloud. You will lead them. You will light the way with your fire, God. Your very presence walks with them. when they believe what you have spoken. See yourself, church. See yourself as a kingdom heir of what he has for you, the destiny he has for you. He's calling us. He's calling us. And I love to hear the shofar because he's calling us to new places. He's calling us out of the land of Ur to go to those new places. So I just praise you, God. I thank you, God. We worship you, God. We meditate on your word and we confess truth out of our mouth. Truth of who we are. We are your called people. We are a royal priesthood. We are royalty. We are kings and queens. And you have places for us to go to speak your word. Give us faith, Father God, to receive what you have for us. Give us fire, Father God, to stand in front of people with your very presence so they know they're in the presence of God. Their eyes will be open and the shields will come down and they'll just submit to you, God. We believe what your word says, that you will be with us, that you will give us boldness, that you will be the one that speaks. We thank you, Lord. And we will not fear persecution. We will not be fearful at all because you are with us. Your blazing fire goes before us and your rear guard is behind us. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can turn to people and speak your name and know that you are touching them in such a way. We praise you, God. We speak life over everyone on Facebook and social media. And we thank you, Lord, for touching them tonight. Touching them in a way, Father God, they know that you're right there with them. You're setting them free because you love them, because they're your child. They're your children, Father. And you love them. And you sent Jesus' broken body. And you walked among that to make the covenant for us. We receive it, Jesus. We can do no other. We call ourselves followers of Christ. Then we can do no other. We thank you, Lord, for the keys of the kingdom. We thank you for healing for every body, for every sickness, for every disease. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided a way. You've made our bodies to be healed. You've set it up so they will be healed. And when we believe your word, it comes to pass. We thank you, Lord, for full manifestation for everyone seeking a healing tonight. We thank you, Lord. We bind up anxiety. We bind up fear. We bind up lying spirits. We thank you, Lord, that the lying spirits that have been lying to people are bound up in Jesus' name. We loose the angels over all the people, Father, to just make a way for your word to come. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You've given us a way. You've given us tools. You've given us your word, and you've paved the way through the desert. We thank you, Lord. And they will be like trees of righteousness, where their roots will be in living water that moves, moving living water that keeps our leaves fruitful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. We will bear fruit in every season. There will be no dry season. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.